world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 404. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who's discovered his talents to do work he loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom.
Craig's steady upward career path at the New York Police Department had stalled. Ready for the next promotion to be offered, he kept waiting, waiting, waiting. Finally, he took a big risk on a career in a totally new line of work.
Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Craig Cody. Welcome, Craig.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. Craig, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Most definitely.
All righty. Well, we want to hear the entire story. A few words about Craig and his life. Craig Cody is a certified tax coach, public accountant, business owner, and former New York City police officer with 17 years on the force. As a certified tax coach, Craig belongs to a select group of tax practitioners throughout the country who undergo extensive training and continued education on various tax planning techniques and strategies to become, as well as remain, certified. With this organization, Craig has co-authored an Amazon bestseller book, Secrets of a Tax-Free Life. Well, Craig, that's a summary of your career. Tell us what you're up to now that has you engaged and excited, if you would, please.
I'm a very lucky person. As far as business goes, I'm very excited about the business that we run. I have a team of eight here, one of which is my wife, kind of runs the office, and we are engaged in tax planning and accounting for mostly business owners and real estate investors. So I'm lucky that 10 minutes away from my home, and I get to come in every day and do what I love.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. How long have you had this? You were a long time police officer. How long have you been doing what you are doing right now? How long has this practice been up and running?
The end of the month, it'll be 16 years. My practice is probably up and running really solo, probably about 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
When I left the police department, I worked for someone for a number of years and started to build a practice and really went out on my own about 6, 7 years ago.
I bet you could write many other books about working as a police officer in New York, huh?
Oh, yes, I could. Yes, I could.
As we talked about, everyone's life is composed of turning points, or some call them passages, and every handful of years, since from the time we're born, we confront ourselves. We face people and events and challenges and choices that determine the next period of our lives. So take us back into the backstory, if you would, of Craig Cody, and tell us about the more memorable turning points that have made you who you are today.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I grew up the son of a New York City police officer, and I grew up in a neighborhood of mostly civil servants. And I went away to college. I was an economics major. And I guess about 3 years in, you know, or maybe 2 years in, it was kind of the thing to do. You took the civil servants test to become a police officer, never expecting to actually do that.
When you were growing up in that, with a father that was a police officer in a community of civil servants, did most of the kids from that community lean in that direction? Or because parents influence us greatly, to say the least. But how did that work? What was your experience of that?
Yes, a lot of us wound up working for the police department, the fire department. You know, so we lean that way. That's what we saw. That's kind of what you emulate.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And so when you got into college, what attracted you to economics?
I always wanted to work on Wall Street. I found it fascinating.
Okay.
Fascinating. And I was lucky enough one day, my uncle had a seat on a stock exchange for a big company, and I went down there and I kind of got the tour and I was like, wow. So that's what I was going to do. Okay. Then about 3 years into it, I kind of finished my investigation for the police department, and I got a phone call during the summer, and I said, you know, what the hell? Let's do this. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. You know? That must be a pretty intricate process to go through that. When you said 3 years into it, you mean 3 years into what aspect of what you were saying?
Well, I would say it was 3 years into college.
Okay, okay.
Probably the investigation, you know, once you go through the testing and they start the investigation, it was probably about a year of investigation.
Okay.
You know, and you're away at school, so you're not really following what's going on. And you come home for the summer and you get a phone call. It's like, you know, you can report on, you know, Monday morning at 8 a.m. to be sworn in.
Good heavens. Is that totally daunting or exciting or both?
Both.
Right.
Both. And I said, you know, let's go for it. And I did.
So where did you start out? I have no idea how any of that side of the society works. What part of the police force did you start out in?
So I started out, you know, you go to the academy for about 6 months. It's in Manhattan. And then you graduate from the academy and you go into about a training unit. Back then it was about 6 months. And then you get transferred someplace. And I wound up in Times Square. And, you know, at the time I was on a foot post and there were six of us on one side of the street and six of us on the other side of the street on 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. And there was still, crime was fairly rampant. It was amazing. And coming in from the suburbs, it was very eye-opening.
Good heavens. You said there were six on each of those posts. Do you call it footpost?
Yeah, footpost from one side of the street and six on the other.
My gosh. And even with all those police officers there, highly visible, the crime was still rampant.
Right. And you also have to remember there's a lot of people that traverse that block. So you're not as visible as, you know, you would think.
Right. Exactly. I hear that. Well, what was that like? What was that experience like? Imagine it was intense and very stressful, huh?
It was intense. It was stressful. It was a lot of fun. I was lucky enough to work with, you know, some of the best people. And I'm very biased, but, you know, as far as training, you know, the best trained police department in the world. And I was lucky, and I had visions of becoming a chief. And I was going to study, and I studied, and I got promoted to sergeant after about 4 or 5 years. And then I was waiting for the next test, and waiting and waiting and waiting. And just time kept going and going, and there was no tests. And that's, you kind of have to wait for a test.
Oh, I'll be darned. How do you move that process along, or how can you influence that process?
Well, that part is all civil service, and you just have to wait for the test to come out. And
okay.
I was waiting. I was moving laterally within the ranks, and I did a lot of interesting thing. I was with the intelligence division, and I was out in California. And I did a lot of wonderful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I worked for somebody that was very unreasonable, and I wound up back on patrol on midnights in Brooklyn somewhere. And I said, you know what? I don't want anybody to have that type of control over me ever again. So I was still waiting for a test, and I went back to school, and I decided, you know, I want to become an accountant and, you know, work on taxes and do financial planning.
Excellent. Well, good for you for having the guts to make that change when you found yourself in a position with an unreasonable boss or whatever that was. That was courageous.
So I went back to school, and I got promoted. And that's just prior to getting promoted, I lost, you know, most of the hearing in my right ear. And, you know, it was time to leave. And I was lucky. I didn't miss a beat. I went to work for a firm that did a lot of work in St. Thomas. So it was kind of like I might have spent 30 days a year traveling, but at least I was in St. Thomas.
So what was the firm? Was this in the same field or was this in accounting?
It was an accounting firm. It was a CPA firm.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough. And at the time, you know, my kids were young and they were growing and I was able to spend, you know, a lot of time with them. As a matter of fact, when I went back to school, my wife also went back to school. So we kind of had two parents in school and three kids in elementary school and growing up. You know, and we did what we had to do.
Well, what did you find? What a huge difference between being a police officer in one of the biggest and most complicated cities on the planet and then going into accounting. How did you deploy your talents and skills? There was a profound difference. How did that difference manifest itself in your day-to-day life?
Well, obviously, it's a different level of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
The skills I was able to transfer were, you know, one thing you learn when you're on a footpost in Midtown Manhattan is you learn how to communicate with people, okay? Because you have thousands and thousands of people of diverse backgrounds and diverse educations, and you kind of have to speak with everyone a little bit differently.
Yes.
And I was lucky, and I learned, and I was able to take those talents that I learned there and put them to use in growing a business and working with people.
So how long did you stay with that firm that sent you to St. Thomas occasionally? How many years did you stay there?
I was there for about 7 years.
Okay. And you kept learning and growing. Did you have to take more education and keep getting certified and all those things?
Well, once you become certified, you pass a test, then you become certified, and you have to do some continuing education every year. But then it's mostly what you want to learn.
Okay.
And I was really into estate planning at the time, and I would go to a lot of estate planning sessions, and then the tax code changed a little bit, and, you know, basically, if you weren't worth more than $15 million, there wasn't a whole lot of planning that was needed.
Okay.
And we started to look at that and see, we saw that these people we did estate plans, we also saved them a lot in taxes on an ongoing basis. And then I got involved with a group called Tax Coach and Certified Tax Coach, which enabled me to actually really fine-tune my craft as far as tax planning.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, went out on my own 6 or 7 years ago, and that is the basis of all the work that we do.
Wow, superb. Well, congratulations. What an interesting path. So we've discussed the statistics that come out every couple of years from Gallup and other international research firms about worker satisfaction and workplace efficiency, and most people are not using the best of their talents. And around the world, but even in America, it's in the 70 percentile, 73%. 1% of people really love what they do. Life is difficult, but those are still troubling statistics. So what do you think, after all these years of taking the road less traveled and chiseling out your own life path, you and your wife, what do you think the reasons are for that? Why is it so hard for people to get in their sweet spot?
head trash.
Okay.
We have stuff that's in the back of our mind, I think, that keeps us from doing things, taking certain risks, and sometimes it's financial, which is understandable. But if you don't give it a shot, you know, it's something that you'll regret forever. And obviously, when I went out on my own, it was a big risk. But I'm a better person for it, and I think I'm a better boss. And we've developed something here that's wonderful.
Yes, exactly. So what have been the most important palpable benefits for you developing something there that's wonderful? For you and your wife and your family and your employees and your community, what are the palpable takeaways for you?
I think having a team that is really on the same page and is, you know, really in it together and treating everybody like, you know, they're an individual, and it goes a long way. I guess something I learned in the police department is you could do the same job and work for one person and feel great, and do the same job and work for somebody else and feel terrible. So I didn't want that to happen in my firm. And our employees have a lot of input, okay? You know, I hate to call them even employees, they're team members.
Yes, yes.
And my daughter is 21. She's, I guess I could call her an intern here, but she's really not an intern. And she's a senior in college and going to get her accounting degree and go to work for one of the big firms. And she was recently discussing two of the top six firms and comparing, you know, them. And she was saying, well, this firm, they have like a Google campus type environment. And she explained to me what that was. And I'm like, wait, we have that, you know, and we didn't even realize it.
That's brilliant.
So I think giving a lot of positive feedback, treating people like adults, and, you know, giving them ownership of what they're doing, and yes, hiring the right people.
Yes.
You know, you have to hire the right people.
Yeah, that's an amazingly, I've had companies all my life, and well, that's something that just does, I mean, you may have an instinct for people, but ferreting out a person's true soul and talents and skills and everything is not easy, is it?
No, no, it's not. I wish it was, but it's not. And I like to say we've been very lucky.
Yes. Well, luck has something to do with it, and also great instincts. It's no accident that you were on the police force and had to deal with thousands of different kinds of people, and then, you know, got with another firm and had to deal with all kinds of clients. And those instincts and those experiences and skills are honed rather quickly, or you don't succeed, right?
Oh, most definitely.
So what would you say to listeners around the world who are 18 or starting out into the work world or technology school or university, wherever they go, or whether they're at different stages of their lives, early career, mid-career? What would you say to them if they're listening, saying, okay, what I'm doing is fine, but I want more. I want to break out of this. How would you suggest they do that? Given they've got responsibilities and all, and it's a hard journey, but what's your sage advice?
You know, figure out a way to make it work,
okay?
Because, you know, as somebody once said to me, in 5 years, you're going to be 35 anyway, so you might as well start now.
Yeah, yeah. And what are the steps to that? What are the tactics? They're busy. They get home late. They've got a family response. Whatever they've got, they're under a lot of pressure. How would you suggest they chisel out the time, or what resources would they use? I agree with you, figure out how to make it work, but that's a rather daunting assignment.
I think everybody's situation is a little bit different, and you have to figure out a way to make it work, and it's a sacrifice, and, you know, hopefully it's not a 10-year sacrifice, but that's what's going to take you from where you are today to that point where you are happy. And, you know, it's not all about making money, okay? You need to be happy. You need to have, you know, in my book, you know, you need to have a nice family and enjoy being with your family and friends. So you need to have the whole picture. And if you're not happy at work, I think it's hard to have the whole picture.
Yeah, I think it's well nigh impossible because we spend so much time there and it influences every aspect of our being. Have there been books or resources as you've come along that you'd like to share with listeners that you think might be helpful? Of any kind. Doesn't have to be self-personal development.
I read a lot of books. I listen to a lot of podcasts. You know, I actually was a late bloomer in certain aspects, as I only recently listened to Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why didn't I read this a long time ago? It wasn't like it was, I never heard about it before. But I think just listening to what other people have to say, and you know, you may not like it, but you may get some ideas. And if you, you know, whether you read or you listen, there's audio, just, you know, expand your horizons.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. How do you use this incredible thing called the internet in your life and business?
Oh, the internet. I mean, we're able to use it. Obviously, you know, we have clients basically all over the country. We have some international clients. So the internet is kind of like being in the room next door sometimes.
Yes.
So we're very tech heavy and tech friendly. And I think in this day and age, you really need to be. You know, there's a few dinosaurs out there, but I think if you want to really do a lot of things, you need to be into technology.
Yeah, precisely. Well, Craig, what's your personal vision going forward? What do you see happening over the next handful of years for you and your family and your business?
The business will continue to grow. I'm lucky. I have, I have one daughter who's 21. My middle daughter is 24, just started her first year of law school. And my son is 25, and he's continuing in the family business. He's a third-generation New York City police officer.
Oh, my word.
So I think my kids are in good shape. I'm lucky. I'm married for 27 years.
That's a big deal. Congratulations.
Yes, that's
a real big deal.
And, you know, continue to grow my business, make time for the things that I enjoy in life, and, you know, kind of smell the roses.
Yes, well said. Is there one thing you would do differently if you could in this whole interesting life journey? I know, it's a bear of a question.
Yeah, one exact thing. You know, I think I would have stayed in school and gotten my degree before I went into the police department, because the police department wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I would have done that, it would have made life somewhat easier going forward.
Right. When you decided to make the change and you had to go back to school. That's good.
Exactly.
Well, what are you proudest of, Craig?
Oh, my family. You know, we've raised three wonderful kids, and that's my proudest accomplishment. Nothing gets better than that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Craig Cody, what a great pleasure being with you today. We appreciate you sharing the highlights of your life journey, and I know that listeners around the world have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. How do those listeners connect with you, if you'd like them to?
That's great. They could go to www.craigcodyandcompany.com/D's and David, Y's and yellow, T's and Thomas for Discover Your Talents.
Excellent. That sounds great. Listeners know you can go to our homepage, discoveryourtalentpodcast.com, and go to the show notes page by clicking on podcast and find the highlights of this fine interview along with the connecting points. I want to thank you, listeners across the world, for joining us today and every day. If you like our show, individual interviews like this, inspiring interviews with people like Craig and expert interviews on Friday, subscribe. It's free. It'll always be free. And we're in the process of adding value in all kinds of forms, membership sites and other courses and things. And we'd like to know how we can serve you better. So let us know. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them and we can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.